Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer reader Wallace Kleindienst in Flagstaff with Northland Views. I'll be reading from the White Mountain Independent. The first headline, Apache County Team Effort Saves 31 Animals from Extreme Neglect, an article by Jean Maria, staff writer. A total of 31 animals were rescued from severe neglect in Apache County over the weekend in a rapid response mission involving Tales of Love Rescue and the Apache County Sheriff's Office. What began as a welfare check on three puppies quickly turned into a full-scale rescue. On the afternoon of April 18th, Tales of Love Rescue received a call about a potential neglect case. The nonprofit, based in Sholo, and known for rescuing animals from the surrounding areas, found far more than expected upon arrival. Deceased goats were found lying among those still alive. Only two pigs remained in a pen filled with filth and debris. Chicken remains were scattered across the property. Two dogs were locked inside an RV with no access to the outdoors. In a nearby shed, two crates held a mother dog and her three puppies in one, and an older pup in the other crate. All five dogs were covered in feces and urine. Their water was black and contaminated, and their food dishes were unusable. Due to limited space, the rescue team initially removed only the youngest puppies. Once they regained phone service, they contacted the Apache County Sheriff's Office, providing photos and a full report. The sheriff's office responded immediately, confirming plans to arrest the property owner and authorizing removal of all animals. The individual arrested in connection with this case has been identified as 47-year-old Stuart Hutchinson. According to booking records, Hutchinson was taken into custody on April 19th at 3:10 in the afternoon. He is facing multiple charges, including one count of felony animal cruelty. Other charges include disorderly conduct involving a weapon, misconduct involving weapons, and threatening and intimidating. His bail is set at $5,000. As of press time, a court case has not yet been filed. By Saturday, with the suspect in custody, rescue teams and volunteers returned to the property and evacuated all remaining animals. This was a coordinated and compassionate effort, Tales of Love wrote in a Facebook update. None of this would have happened without this incredible community. Michelle's Mountain Grooming volunteered to clean the puppies. Lauren and Kaylee at Hector's Hay and Feed bathed the mother dog and older pups late that night. Many other volunteers helped with transport, care, and shelter. All 31 animals are now safe and adjusting well. Representatives from the rescue confirmed they're experiencing love and safety for the first time in their lives. Also in local news, the headline, Two White Mountain Apache Women to Compete for Miss Indian World Title, an article by Glendinia Lead Gatewood, contributing writer. The Miss Indian World pageant, the most prestigious indigenous cultural pageant in North America, will take place this week, April 24th through the 26th, during the annual gathering of Nations Powwow in Albuquerque, New Mexico. This unique competition brings together young indigenous women ages 18 to 25 from across the continent to showcase their culture, knowledge, and traditional talents while competing in areas such as public speaking, traditional dance, and essay writing. The winner will hold the title of Miss Indian World and serve as a cultural goodwill ambassador traveling across the United States and internationally to promote Native American culture. This year, the White Mountain Apache tribe is proud to be represented by two strong contenders, Lenny Lupi and Siobhan Tilda, both of whom are entering the competition with purpose, pride, and cultural passion. Lenny Lupi is a proud member of the White Mountain Apache tribe, and through her late grandfather, is part of the Black Streak Wood People Clan of the Navajo Nation. The daughter of Eliza and Fitzgerald Lupe, Lainey grew up in East Fork and is a proud East Fork Lutheran Eagle. She graduated from Alcosay High School as a state champion in girls basketball and co-valedictorian. She later earned her Associate of Arts degree from Central Arizona College and a bachelor's degree from Park University in Parkville, Missouri. Lainey Lupe's platform, rooted in health and heritage, focuses on the importance of movement. She says, "I come from a long line of athletes, cowboys, cowgirls, runners, and multi-sport athletes. I want to share the joy of moving our bodies and remind our people that it's a gift. When we move, we honor our ancestors. We heal, grow, and reconnect with who we are, physically, mentally, and spiritually." Lainey's journey through athletics has earned her recognition, including the National Junior College Athletic Association Division I Women's Basketball Token and the Winnie Romero Women's Basketball Award. Yet it was her year as Miss Indian Arizona that helped her truly understand the role of a cultural ambassador. She says, "Representing the 22 federally recognized tribes of Arizona challenged me to become more confident, compassionate, and connected. The dream of becoming Miss Indian World is something I've carried since childhood." Siobhan Tilla of the Red Earth People Clan and born for the Adobe Cutbank people enters the pageant with a deep sense of responsibility to her community. Inspired by her family, her community, and the legacy of her late father, Siobhan's platform is titled "Improving Mental Health Through Culture and Traditions." A passionate advocate for mental wellness, Siobhan is drawn from her own experiences of anxiety and depression, finding healing through connection with her Apache roots. She says, "Our people come from generations of trauma that impacted any generation after that. We were taught to stay strong, don't show emotions, or speak about taboo topics such as mental health." Her generation, she says, is working to change that. "It's part of the healing process for our community to start a conversation about mental health. It is possible to overcome generations of trauma. I hope sharing my story helps others, mentally, physically, and spiritually." Siobhan's story resonates deeply with many Native youth who are struggling to balance cultural identity and personal challenges. She believes that culture is medicine. "I found my strength through our traditions," she says. "Now I want to give that hope back to others." The Miss Indian World pageant is not merely a beauty contest. It is a cultural celebration emphasizing the roles, responsibilities, and unique strengths of indigenous women. The competition includes personal interviews, public speaking, cultural presentations, essay writing, and traditional dance. In other solo news, headline, TJ Maxx, opening solo on April 27th, an article by Tony Gibbons, staff writer. TJ Maxx is set to open its newest store in solo on April 27th. The store, at 750 West Deuce of Clubs next to Cow Ranch, will open from 8 a.m. to 8 in the evening on opening day. "We're thrilled to join the solo community," said Nancy Carpenter, president of TJ Maxx. "We look forward to providing local shoppers with an ever-changing selection of high-quality merchandise at exceptional value so they can express their true Maxx selves." The new solo location will occupy approximately 23,900 square feet and will be open daily from 9:30 in the morning to 9:30 in the evening. TJ Maxx works with thousands of top brands and designers to source high-quality merchandise and provides deals year-round, not just seasonally. As part of its grand opening celebration, TJ Maxx will donate $10,000 to Meals on Wheels, Arizona White Mountain. The new store will also participate in TJ Maxx's nationwide effort to sponsor Save the Children's U.S. programs through the retailer's annual in-store fundraising campaign. Also in local news, the headline, local law enforcement agencies aid in arrest of Las Vegas murder suspect. An article by Suzanne Adams Okrasa, digital editor. The Navajo and Apache County Sheriff's Offices, as well as the St. John's Police Department, were part of a group of law enforcement agencies that helped the U.S. Marshals Service and the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department arrest a man wanted for murder. According to a press release from the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, Samuel Conway, age 39, was identified as a second possible suspect in a stabbing that took place around 10 in the evening back on June 30, 2023, near the intersection of Churchill Avenue and Decatur Boulevard in Las Vegas. The victim in the stabbing later died at the hospital. An investigation by the Las Vegas Police homicide detectives indicated the victim had allegedly been stabbed involved in an argument with Wyatt Conway, age 18. During the interaction, Wyatt Conway allegedly stabbed the victim before fleeing the scene. Wyatt Conway was located and taken into custody shortly after the incident. He was arrested on suspicion of open murder. Through the course of the investigation, Las Vegas police detectives were able to identify Samuel Conway as a second suspect. According to a press release from the U.S. Marshals Service, the U.S. Marshals Service Nevada Violence Offender Task Force received information that Samuel Conway may be in Arizona. The task force contacted the Marshals Arizona Wanted Violent Offender Task Force for help in locating Mr. Conway. When the Arizona Task Force attempted to serve an arrest warrant on Samuel Conway on April 17th in St. John's, he fled into a wooded area. At 11:20 on the morning of April 18th, the Arizona Task Force located Samuel Conway in the 100 block of West Arizona Street in Holbrook. He was taken into custody and is being held in the Navajo County Detention Center in Holbrook, awaiting extradition in Nevada. We are grateful for the strong partnerships that made this apprehension possible, Navajo County Sheriff David Close stated in a press release. In news from Springerville is the headline, Fatal Crash in Springerville Under Investigation, Driver Cited for DUI, an article by Jean Murat, staff writer. A two-vehicle collision in Springerville on Monday afternoon turned fatal, and local law enforcement officials said the investigation remains ongoing. According to a news release from the Round Valley Police Department, the crash occurred just after 3 p.m. on April 14th at the intersection of U.S. Highway 180-191 and the Chiricahua Trail. Emergency crews from the Round Valley Fire Department and White Mountain Ambulance Services also responded to the scene. Investigators determined that a 2000 Chevrolet Silverado, driven by 33-year-old Nelsina Teller of Eager, was traveling north on North Chiricahua Trail when she failed to yield the stop sign and collided with a southbound 2003 Ford Ranger on the highway. Both drivers were the sole occupants of their vehicles. Medical personnel evaluated both individuals at the scene, and both were transported to a nearby hospital. After conducting an on-scene investigation and following up the hospital, officers cited and released Teller for driving under the influence. Shortly before midnight, Round Valley Police Department was notified that the male driver of the Ford Ranger had died. Authorities have not confirmed whether the death resulted from the injury sustained in the crash, and the case remains under active investigation. You're tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona, and you're listening to Northland Views. And from Heber Overgaard is the headline, Hartley Young Motivates a Community to Pitch In, an article by Sam Stork, staff writer. Like most 8-year-old girls, Hartley Young has big dreams. She has a love for music and dancing, roller skating and crafting. She wants to visit Disneyland and dreams of meeting Post Malone and Jelly Roll, who are among her favorite musicians. But recently, Hartley was diagnosed with a diffused midline glioma. A DMG is an extremely rare, severe, and rapidly growing tumor that affects the brain and spinal cord. These tumors are inoperable and incurable, with a life expectancy of 9 to 15 months after diagnosis. The diagnosis turned Hartley's and her family's world upside down, yet Hartley hasn't lost her courage. She decided to live the best and happiest life with what time she has left. And like any mother faced with a heartbreaking situation, Hartley's mom, Sydney Willis, wants to make all of Hartley's wildest dreams come true. When the Hebrew Overguard community learned of Hartley's fight, it lit a spark that spread like wildfire. Almost everyone that has heard Hartley's story wants to be a part of making memories her family will all cherish for the rest of their lives. Sydney Willis posted on Facebook that Hartley has been begging to see Post Malone at his show in Phoenix on June 21st, and asked that everyone share and tag Post Malone to try to make one of her biggest dreams come true. Sydney hopes that if enough people share this post, it will make this dream a reality for her daughter. American Legion Post 86 and Heber Overgaard decided they will do all they can for Hartley and has made it their mission to share her story with the world. They began by asking the community to get involved in giving Hartley as many once-in-a-lifetime experiences as they can, and adapted Hartley as their Child of the Year for Post 86. On July 5th, Post 86 will be hosting an open house featuring a dunk tank, raffles, bake sale, and much more. All donations will go towards giving Hartley these experiences. The members of the American Legion Post 86 are not the only ones who decided to help. The entire community has joined the fight for Hartley. Sanders Coffee and Company in Heber donated a portion of all sales on April 22nd to help fundraising for a trip to Disneyland and for her to spend time with family in Oregon. The Sanders goal was to raise enough money to pay for the flights, hotels, rental cars, and other expenses for the trip. Not only did they give a portion of all sales to this cause, but they have a donation jar for anyone who wishes to help Hartley go on this great adventure. Haas and Quality Metal Works have teamed up to help Hartley live out her dreams. They are making shirts captain hashtag We Have Heart and helping Hartley fight her fight. The t-shirts are $100 and are available at Quality Metal Works and Overguard across the bank. 100% of the proceeds are going to Hartley's family. Snowflake Smokehouse, Just Teasing in the Pines, The Gym in Heber, and many other local businesses have set out donation jars or donated baskets to the American Legion Post 86 to raffle at their open house for Hartley. Her story has even reached the Valley, where several places are holding fundraising events. In all this, one thing is clear. The story of this small girl has had a larger-than-life effect on the community. Anyone who wishes to donate to Hartley's fight can make donations at any of the businesses mentioned here. And in sports news from Snowflake, the headline, Snowflake wins fourth straight 3A East baseball title, an article by Keith Morris, sports editor. Make it four in a row. Snowflake's reign as 3A East baseball champions continues. The Lobos beat Pine Ridge by a score of 10-6 in a game that ended in a snowstorm on Friday night in Lakeside. The visitors jumped on top early, then held on in a wild seventh that saw the Yellow Jackets score six times to turn a 10-run deficit into a thriller. But the Lobos held on to claim their fourth consecutive regional title. Snowflake improved to a record of 7-0, in the 3A East with three games remaining. Blue Ridge fell to a record of 5-3 in the region with its second loss in two nights. The Yellow Jackets' title bid took a big hit with a 13-7 loss at home in Sholo on Thursday, and it ended the next night. "We're really excited about it," says first-year Snowflake head coach Abe Bowden. "We sort of set out with that goal in mind, got to win region, then go compete for a state title." And from the opinion pages of the White Mountain Independent is the opinion article, "From a Leak to a Tea Party, Who Blabbed to Ben Franklin?" Written by J. Mark Powell of InsideSources.com. Washington loves a leaker, an unidentified source who's willing to spill the beans and dish on his boss or colleagues. Sometimes the motivation is revenge, settling the score for an old wrong, be it real or imagined. Other leakers do so for reasons of conscience, believing the public needs to know what's happening behind the scenes. It brings to mind one unidentified official who long ago disagreed with his boss, and what he did to inform Americans about it played a big part in the build-up to the Revolutionary War. This is the story of the Hutchinson Letters Affair. Britain had an increasingly nasty problem on its hand in the early 1770s. For nearly 150 years, the mother country in its province of Massachusetts Bay Colony had enjoyed more or less tranquil relations. However, things had recently soured. The colonists said it was grossly unfair that a heavy round of taxes was imposed on them for London's fiscal benefit, not theirs. Despite paying those taxes, the people of Massachusetts had no voice in Britain's parliament, and they were growingly increasingly upset about it. That in turn upset the Brits, who felt the colonists were acting like spoiled, ungrateful children. The tipping point came in 1773 when the infamous tea tax was imposed. It was the last straw for many of Massachusetts's tea-sipping British subjects, and that's when things got interesting. The previous December, Benjamin Franklin had received an unusual packet in the mail. He was living in London, where, among other things, he served as deputy postmaster of North America. To put it in 21st century terms, someone inside the very top levels of England's government had gone rogue and wanted Franklin to know what was secretly going on behind closed doors. The packet contained about 20 letters privately sent to a top aide to Britain's prime minister, by Thomas Hutchinson, the Massachusetts colony's royal governor, and other local officials. Ben Franklin couldn't believe his eyes. The letters framed matters in a way that intentionally misled Parliament. They also suggested Massachusetts's colonial government should be overhauled to give the royal governor more power. Worse still, Hutchinson wrote that the colonists should never have the full rights in America that were enjoyed back in England, calling for an abridgment of what are called English liberties. Franklin forwarded the letters to Boston with clear instructions that they not be printed or publicized. He added, however, that they could be quietly shared with Patriot leaders. However, those brilliantly conniving second cousins, John and Samuel Adams, made sure the correspondence reached the Boston Gazette newspaper. When the letters were published in June 1773, the public in New England reacted with the ferocity of a nuclear blast. Hutchinson was burned in effigy on Boston Common. The outcry was equally intense when word reached the other side of the pond in England. From Beacon Hill to London's fashionable salons, Britons and colonists alike speculated about which insider had leaked the letters. One suspected source blamed another, even leading to a duel between two men. That was when Ben Franklin said enough was enough. On Christmas Day, 1773, published a letter admitting that he had forwarded the letters to Boston. Franklin was hauled before the Privy Council, royally chewed out, humiliated, and fired from his lucrative deputy postmaster gig. Back in Boston, the revelations from the letters helped stoke the anger that climaxed with the Boston Tea Party. You know what happened from there. So who was the 18th century resistor inside British government who actually leaked the letters? There's a wide cast of possibilities. Several historians point a finger at Thomas Ponnall, Hutchinson's predecessor as royal governor in Massachusetts. Others blamed John Temple, another colonial official. Temple claimed he knew the true culprit's identity, but refused the name, since doing so would prove the ruin of the guilty party. Whoever he was, his secret went to the grave with him, but his effects are still felt today. I'm your volunteer reader, Wallace Kleindienst in Flagstaff, and this has been Northland Views. Thank you for listening. Have a great afternoon and evening.